Today with Joseph Prince.
The Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, or the word of Christ in the original. Many a times God brings you out of yourself, out of occupation with self into occupation with Christ. All of a sudden you see how lovely He is. All of a sudden you see how much God loves you. And in sending His Son to die for you, God gave up His Son for you. And then when you are absorbed in God's love for you, all of a sudden you find that the faith that you were looking for is there. That's why the Bible says, faith worketh by love. Faith worketh by love. When you know God loves you, your faith will work. But don't try to focus on faith. Don't try to focus on getting your healing. Focus on the Word of God, but especially Christ. To see Him afresh and anew. Ask the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to see Jesus, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. When you see Him, you become like Him. Can I have a good amen? God's heart is really out to bless, and blessing will reverse the curse. So blessing will reverse the disease in your life. Blessing will not just remove what is negative, but add on what is of heaven, what is of God. Amen. You see, God's purpose in blessing is that you, all of you, will be a blessing. You are always a blessing going somewhere to heaven. Take time to at least greet three or four persons around you. Look at them and you know, you're saying it by faith. Say it. Don't worry. You're not lying, okay? Say something good is going to happen. You look good. Amen. But you say, Pastor Prince, they don't look good. Say it by faith. That's what I say to Pastor Mark all the time. Come on. You got to say it. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. And we had an amazing time for our midweek service. And those of you who didn't come, don't worry. You miss a lot. Or get a hold of the message disc, whatever format you have, MP3 and all that. Just get it, because we shared deeper than just the story itself. We showed you the Hebrew behind the scene, because God was working behind the scenes. Overruling, ruling, replacing, restoring, protecting, providing. It's simply amazing. And I'm so glad that we get to do this, to study the Word of God together. I look forward to the next encounter night. Amen. Amen. So we are sorry for all those that we had to turn away, a few hundred of you. And it just goes to show that people are hungry. We are in the midst of a revival. Amen. During the time of Evan Roberts' Welsh revival, people will be so hungry for the Bible that the Bibles are all sold out in the villages. You know, they don't have Bibles that we have online and all that, but this was the early 1900s. People were so hungry for God's Word. Literally, they would queue up to hear God's Word, and there's no space in their small village. And then what happened is they have to sit in the fields, and Evan Roberts would have to raise his voice. But this is a sign of revival. What churches are praying for, we are experiencing. Amen. Amen. People are excited about the Lord Jesus Christ. They are relishing God's Word. This is always the signs of a healthy soul. Revival. Amen? And the devil hates revival. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, or the word of Christ in the original. Many a times God brings you out of yourself, out of occupation with self into occupation with Christ. All of a sudden you see how lovely He is. All of a sudden you see how much God loves you. And in sending His Son to die for you, God gave up His Son for you. And then when you are absorbed in God's love for you, all of a sudden you find that the faith that you were looking for is there. That's why the Bible says, faith worketh by love. Faith worketh by love. When you know God loves you, your faith will work. But don't try to focus on faith. Don't try to focus on getting your healing. Focus on the Word of God, but especially Christ. To see Him afresh and anew. Ask the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to see Jesus, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. When you see Him, you become like Him. Can I have a good amen? Amen? Say bless.
Bless.
Say blessing.
Blessing.
Genesis 12. God said this to Abram. And back then, it was Abram. He wasn't Abraham yet. God says, I'll make you a great nation. And we all know this nation is Israel today. I'll make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. You see, God's purpose in blessing is that you, all of you, will be a blessing. You are always a blessing going somewhere to happen. And that's why if someone retrenches you or asks you to go leave your company, whatever, the blessing just walked out. There goes his only salvation. There goes his everything. Okay, there's an old hymn. I'll bless you. You notice that all the younger ones don't know you. Anyway, praise God. I'll bless those who bless you and I'll curse him who curses you. I'll bless those who bless you and I'll curse him who curses you. And in you, Abram, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So it's all about blessing. Blessing. What is blessing? Now, I don't want to give you what I know, and I know what's blessing, but I want to give you a professor of Old Testament and ancient Semitic languages. His name is John Oswalt. And this is what John Oswalt said. And these are his own words. Blessing, barak. Say barak. That's the Hebrew word, barak. All right, barak means to confer abundant and effective life upon something or someone. To bless in the Old Testament means to endue with power for success, prosperity, fecundity, longevity, etc. Fecundity means fruitfulness in childbearing. Amen? This part here, go ask Pastor Matthews. He has the blessing of fecundity, longevity. How many want all this?
Amen.
Amen. This is what blessing does. Blessing produces it. Now, blessing is not these things, but blessing is the endowment with power. When God blesses you, He endues you with power for all these things to manifest or to be produced in your life. John Oswald also says that whatever may have been the ancient Near Eastern conception of the source of blessing, the Old Testament sees God as the only source. God is the only source. It's not some man of God, some special prophet who prays for you, who blesses you. No, when we bless you, or even the prophets in the Old Testament, when they bless the people, they always stand as a representation. Representative leader for God's voice. They're actually executing God's voice. Can I have a good amen? And that's why they had to invoke God's name, because all blessing has its source only, and I repeat that, only in God. And all the people said, amen. And of course, we can talk about if this is blessing, then what is the curse? What is the cursing? Curse is, of course, the endowment with power for failure. Everything that you see here, you put the opposite, okay? And it's all part of the curse. Now, we live in a world where we see a lot of curses. We see a lot of things that's not working right. One day in heaven, like the Lord taught us to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All your loved ones, if you have lost a loved one, I hate to use the word lost, and yet it is a human word for understanding the grief that people are going through. So we still use that word, but actually it's a gain for them. The word of God says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. They are immediately in a much better place for us. In fact, they feel like praying for us. Amen. They are in a place of perfect bliss, pure bliss, wonderful joy, great happiness. They will never be sick again. They will never grow old. They will never die ever again. Amen. They behold the face of Jesus for you by faith, for me by faith, for them face to face. They listen to the angels singing, you know, like tunes and melodies you have never heard of. They behold vibrant, lush, brightest colors that you have never even fathomed this side of heaven. Pure joy, pure happiness. If you think, don't forget all the senses of your tongue, for example. God gave you all those senses. God is the source of all the pleasures of food, for example. Imagine this one area. Everything in heaven cannot be lesser than earth. Everything is enhanced. Everything is greater. So those who have gone on before, the Bible says, they have gain. To die in Christ is to gain. So even if they don't receive healing, amen, we grieve, we cry, all right, because we are all humans, amen. Jesus himself, when he was a man on earth, I shouldn't say was, he still is a man in glory. Do you know that there's a man in glory? There's a man in glory, amen, that wasn't there before. A man in glory representing you and I. Jesus at Lazarus' tomb, he wept. The shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept, amen. He wept because I believe that he knew that this wasn't the Father's dream for man to die. So God's heart is really out to bless, and blessing will reverse the curse. So blessing will reverse the disease in your life. Blessing will not just remove what is negative, but add on what is of heaven, what is of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So all men fell because men sinned. Even earth fell because of man's sin. So to be like heaven, heaven, there's no shortage. Heaven, there are no hospitals. In heaven, there's nothing that is hurtful. Nothing will destroy. You don't need police in heaven. Amen. Security is okay in heaven. Praise God. Nothing hurts. Nothing destroys. So the earth has fallen. The earth is dreadfully fallen. And man refused to admit it. The Bible says, one of the saddest account in the book of Judges, right at the end, after all, God raised the heroes and all that, Gideon, God raised Samson and all that. Right at the end, it says that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. We are back to this again. We are back to this again. It is like democracy gone to a crazy tangent when people have access to social media, for example. Everyone is saying what they think is right. Amen? But does God have a standard? You see, the thing is this. If you say fire doesn't burn, technically it doesn't burn. What it does is this. Technically, fire is this. But fire is an illusion. But fire is not stable. But fire is this. Fire. All kinds of opinions when you open the social media. But one thing, put finger there, finger burn. Finger hot. Reality cannot change. All right? And you say, the law of gravity and all that, in some circumstances, you can offset it and all that. Like the law of trust and live, as you're saying, you can argue, nothing can argue that. Technically, we don't have to. The earth is flat. There are people who argue the earth is flat. Whatever it is, okay? But one thing I do tell you is this. If you jump off a high building, you will be flat. That law you cannot change. You can cry to the highest heaven and all that, and you can argue as much as you want, but you cannot change some laws that God has put in this universe. You don't break the law. You break yourself. Always remember that. Yeah. Amen. So it's smart when we learn God's ways of doing things. Amen. And God has left us a manufacturer's handbook. So the word barak, say barak, word for blessing. Bless is this Hebrew word. Okay? Barak. Reading from right to left again. Bet. Say resh. Say kaf. Barak. So three letters. That spell Barak, amen. The former president of U.S. Is called Barack Obama. He always mentions this when he goes to Israel, that his name means blessing. Barak, all right, Baraka. There's a valley called Valley of Baraka in Israel, the Valley of Blessing, the one where God gave victory to Jehoshaphat against insurmountable odds. There were enemies that surrounded them. And they were outnumbered. And yet God turned the valley of weeping to the valley of blessing. That's what God wants to do in your life today. The blessing is in the Word of God. It's not in our opinion. The reason I tell you all this about blessing is because many people, even Christians, even some among us, we still have this mentality. If you do good, you know, you're a moral person. You are not hurting people. You live a quiet, you know, good life. But all this based on your own definition, then God will bless you. Isn't this what we are told? Now, be very honest with yourself. Is this what you're told? That if you do good, you'll be blessed. So the disappointment comes when all of a sudden you find that your ideas of morality, your unconscious expectation of God to bless you is all foiled, is all confounded when you find yourself experiencing the opposite. And then you look at other people that you don't think deserve to be blessed because maybe you know their morality at work, maybe you know something else, but you seem to see blessing in their life. So you cannot explain all that. So we got to go back to the Bible and see God's definition, God's idea of how to receive blessing. Is that okay? Can I preach a sermon on how to be blessed God's way? Yes. Is that okay? So this is the word Barak, reading from right to left, Barak. The first two letters, straight away I tell you this, Hebrew and Aramaic are very close together. In fact, Jesus most likely spoke Aramaic. And probably about 60-70% of their language there are similar. It's the pronunciation and all that that could be different. But it's still a Semitic in its roots, okay? So Hebrew and Aramaic, many a times they share the same word. But here, this word, Barak, the first two letters is Bar, which is son. Now, in Hebrew, it's Ben, right? But here it is Bar, which is son. Do y'all remember Jesus telling Peter, when Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus says, "Blessed are you, Bar-Jonah," right? Simon, Bar-Jonah. "Blessed are you, Simon," Simon Peter, "son of Jonah," Bar-Jonah. Amen? I look at some of you and your name is Lim, Lawrence Lim, Lawrence Bar-Lim. All right, some of you are Lee, James Bali. All right, or Tok, Joseph Batok. Interesting, huh? All right, so that's what it means. You got it. So the first word is son. Isn't it interesting? The word blessing, God designed to be a son, and the word kaf, the last letter there, kaf, is the word open hand. Say open hand. Put them together, you have the son with the open hand. Blessing always involves Jesus. The Father always has this in mind, even in the formation of the Hebrew language. All right, He formed it in such a way that it is Jesus' spoken language, the Aramaic, and then it is Kaf Barak. And then you see the word, a picture of a man stretching his hand. We have a picture of it. All right, a man stretching his hand and blessing the sick. That's what he did with the leper. The leper says, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Remember that? Would you like to see a leper one again? Yes. You want to see a leper one again? All right. Now, I want you to sit back because there's something that's going to happen right now when you watch this, okay? I feel today there's a special anointing for you to receive Barak. Yes. Blessing. Not just in the area of healing, okay? There is a special anointing that God spoke to me and said that there's going to be a special anointing on this. That when you listen and you watch, there is an anointing. He's going to reach out and touch you, even if it's financial, even if it's confusion, depression. Allow the Lord to touch you, okay? So sit back and watch.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, oh, you of little faith? And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock.
Barak. That was Barak. Amen. Blessing. Now, many of you have received. Just right now, if you know you came in here with some condition and all that, the pain is gone. God is healing people. Praise the Lord. Take a deep breath. Someone with a lot of blocked nose, you'll find your nose is all cleared. Sore throat has been healed. Amen. There's even an ulcer on your throat that if you swallow right now, the pain is no longer there. Don't doubt. The pain is gone. Amen. The ulcer is healed. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Someone sitting with pain for some time and now you find that the pain is gone. Praise the Lord. Or whatever condition you had, all right? Whatever condition you had, praise the Lord. If you know it's gone, do a big wave all across this place. Just wave, just wave. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Do a big wave. Camera, can you pick it up? Okay, stop focusing on me. Do a big wave, okay? Almost violent, so the camera can see you. All right, sister over here, praise the Lord. Look at over there, praise God. Look at that, look at that, look at this. Over there, way back there. All right, over there, behind there. Brother, what happened? Yep, for some time? Your throat? So just now, so when you swallow, you felt the pain? Now you don't anymore, eh? It's all gone. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right, there was a sister. Now I got to give a sister a chance, okay? Sister, what happened over here in the gray? You are the one with that? And it's all gone? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anyone on this side here? Anyone? All right, sir, what happened? You had rashes. You're pointing me to that side. It's serious rashes. For 6 months. It's all gone. No more itchiness now. Completely. Oh, thank you, Father. Now, when he said that, there were some parents who says that, I want that for my child. If that is you, stand to your feet, okay? We're going to pray for you. Okay, praise the Lord. Barak is happening, people. Amen. Told you, God is anointing that video. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Sister, what happened? Your blonde nose is gone. Come, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just one more. One last call for those who know you have received. You can shout out your healing. Just shout it out now. Okay? Wherever you are, we're not ready. Yes. What happened? Depression. That's precious. You know it's gone. 2 years. And today is your birthday. And I believe it will not come back in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Some tears, but to God be the glory. Amen. Okay, parents were standing on behalf of your loved one with skin condition, eczema and all that. I know how frustrating that can be. Amen. Applying on your child. Your child is crying. Your child is uncomfortable and all that. But Jesus loves your child. What he did for this leper, amen, he can do for your child in an instant. Father in heaven, in the name of Jesus, I release that healing right now upon the people and upon their loved ones, Father, that they're standing in proxy for. Father, everyone under the sound of my voice, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whoever they are standing for, I ask right now in Jesus' name, touch with your healing power that afflicted one. Cleanse that child's skin, Lord. Heal and give to that child strong, healthy, resilient skin in place, Lord, in restoration, Lord. 120% more in quality, Lord. Healthy, quality skin, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray for the one with the ulcer. I rebuke that ulcer in Jesus' name and command it to go in Jesus' name. For whoever else, for other conditions that your loved ones have right now, the Lord knows what it is. In the name of the Lord Jesus, Father, touch that person right now and make that person every whit whole. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all the people said, amen. Amen. Believe it. You must tell the person, okay? Be seated. And especially if the person is not a believer or, not a Christian that is walking with the Lord, then you need to tell them all the more. You know, or else they'll give the glory to some other thing, you know, whether it's medicine or doctor or whatever. And many of you, they have tried this for many, many years. We're not against doctors. We're not against medicine. But some of these things, they don't work for that particular situation. When God comes in, I am jealous to see that God gets the glory and that person know it is the Lord. Can I have a good amen? Say Barak. So in Genesis 12, God says, I'll bless you and you will be a blessing. You shall be a blessing. When God says, I bless you and you shall be a blessing, there's the first mention in the Bible of the word blessing. From the beginning of the Bible, Genesis 1, God says, I'll bless them, man and woman, and make them great, right? I'll bless them. Be fruitful and multiply. God bless them. God bless the animals. So the word bless is already there, but it's always in verb form. But when Abraham came on the scene, God chose Abraham. And God says, I'll bless you and you shall be a blessing. All right? I'll bless you and you shall be a blessing. All of you. Amen. All 60 kgs of you. You're a blessing going somewhere to happen. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm a blessing going somewhere to happen. Look at the person on the other side now and say, you are seated by a blessing. Amen. So blessing came in for the first time in the story of Abraham, when God chose Abraham. And this word blessing, from bless, a verb, become blessing, a noun, you just add one letter. Just now we have Barak, now we have Baraka, a he. You put a he there and you have blessing. When you have grace in your life, when you know that it's the grace of God, you believe in the grace of God, he, we all know, is grace, the breath of God, the picture is a window. And the picture here is the sun. His hand is always the hand of grace. It's never a hand to punish. You never find the gospel that Jesus punished someone. Oh, you are too fair-skinned. You are too bright. You are too radiant. Come here. You need to learn about patience. Here, receive some leprosy. Okay, you are too full. You have too much provision and all that. Come. All right, pass your food to Judas. Let him eat. No, he never takes away. He always adds. He always blesses. He always repairs. He always restores. He's always mending. He's always healing. He's always doing good. going about doing good, the Bible says. All right? God wants you to be a blessing. I say God wants you to be a blessing. And I really believe, that's why I always say that when one of our ladies stepped into a boutique that no one seems to be there at that time and for some reason is not bustling with people, usually people come in. In a hawker center, the same. I've seen it before. Our people walk in and people start bustling. Amen. You are a blessing, even to your company. Amen. In spite of your mistakes, you are a blessing. Amen. A lot of good things are happening, I believe, because of you. So God said to Abraham, in you all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. So in you refers to, number one, later on we'll see the development, is Jesus, the seed. Jesus came from the lineage of Abraham, a Jew. For God so loved the world, God don't just love the Jewish people, amen, but the Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only son, but his son came as a Jew. God chose Abraham, and out of Abraham came the Jewish nation to be an example of blessing. And God told them, if you don't want to be an example of blessing, and remember this was under the law, then you'll be an example of cursing. So we know that through the law, no one can be blessed. And that's why when God gave the law, it includes blessing and cursing. So when they entered the land, there's a place called Mount Gerizim. Is today still there. My pastors and I have been there. Mount Gerizim and also Mount Ebal. God says 12 tribes, 6 tribes will be on Mount Gerizim to pronounce the blessing. 6 tribes will be on Mount Ebal to pronounce the curses. But the day came when they're supposed to announce the blessing. For some reason, the Bible is silent. God told them, 6 here, 6 on this mountain. One side pronounced the blessing, one side pronounced the cursing. You know something? The blessing was never pronounced. What was pronounced was only cursing. God was illustrating something to us. That even though the law, when you obey the law, there'll be blessing. But because of the nature of man, because man has fallen, man cannot keep the law. They think they can keep the law. They cannot. Until now, they still don't believe it. But they cannot. So what is left is only cursing. If you come under the law, you'll be cursed. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Okay, so now we go to Abraham itself. God promised Abraham, right? It's Genesis 12. This was when he was 75 years old. And yet, is it possible that God promised to bless you? God says he'll bless you and you'll be a blessing. And you find yourself barren. Blessed but barren. Righteous but defeated. Righteous but discouraged. Righteous but depressed. Is it possible that you have the blessing of God? Amen. You know that God blessed you, but it takes so long to see the baby. Is it possible that you can be in a place, in Abraham's case, it was a baby, and the delay, righteous but delay. Why? What is happening, Lord? What is happening? So we are looking at all these things as the Lord leads us as much as we can. So let's go to the story, Genesis 15. After these things, now these things here is that what happened was that Lot, his nephew, was captured by the enemy, Shedolomah. Iran at that time, Persia, all right, king of Babylon, Iraq, and Iran. They were in that region. And they came and they captured Lot, not just Lot, of course, but all of Sodom and Gomorrah and all the people in that area were captured. When Abraham heard about the capture of his nephew, Abraham armed only a few hundred of his homegrown servants, amen, of his men, and they pursued. The last time I was in Israel, I actually went to the area where Abraham came all the way up to the north. It was amazing. He and his men marched all night. He was in Hebron at the south of look at the map of Israel, south. He marched all the way through the night, okay, and started fighting the next day after a road march. And you know what? He fought against 4 armies and defeated them all. And brought Lot back with all the spoils. And then, of course, you all know the story. Before Genesis 15 is 14, he met Melchizedek and all that kind of thing. And Melchizedek blessed him. But all of a sudden, in Genesis 15, he was afraid. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision saying, fear not, Abram, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. There was reason to fear because all of a sudden, you know, God gave him the victory. He knew that God gave him the victory. But then he's afraid now of the retaliation. They might come back. they might have grouped up because they've been embarrassed. They realize that only a few hundred defeat so many thousands and all that. That's still the story of Israel today. The last war, 1967 and all that, they were surrounded and you know, they're outnumbered. 1973 was worse. Amen. They were actually, the enemies were making inroads and still they got it back. So the God of Abraham is the God of Israel. He's still alive and well and He loves His people Israel and He loves His people today and He's your Father. Amen. To Israel, He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. To us, His Father. All the people said, Amen. So He says, fear not, Abraham. I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward. I have never seen in one chapter so many law of first mention. Once again, what's the law of first mention? In Bible interpretation, every time a subject is mentioned the first time, the meaning there usually is the same meaning throughout the entire Bible. Okay? That's God's way of helping you understand. Do you know that there are so many first time in this chapter alone? The very first verse has five first time mention. Five first mentions. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I'm your shield, your exceeding great reward. He was afraid. So God's word came to him in a vision. I believe the vision was a shield. In Hebrew, Megan. If your wife's name is Megan, that's where it comes from, Megan. Megan is a shield. God says, I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward. No, God wasn't offering or selling insurance. God was just telling him, I am your shield. I am your shield. I am your Megan. Amen? I am your shield. It came in a vision. Notice the word of God came in a vision. So it was a shield. And God says, I am your exceeding great reward. And this word reward, sakhar, is a very interesting word. Elsewhere, it's always used for hiring, hire, the payment, wages, salary. Throughout the Bible, it's used for wages. It's actually the word for salary. God is saying to you, I'm not only am I your protection, I am also your supplier. I'm your paymaster. So now you think you've lost a great job. Let me tell you this, God is not just your salary, He's your exceeding great salary. He'll provide for you. Not only provide for you, He'll protect you. Can I have a good amen? Hallelujah. And Abram said, you know the first time? The first time is the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. This is the first time this phrase appears in the entire Bible. The word of the Lord. And what's the significance? Many of you are not alert to this. You see, how to hear God's voice? The word of the Lord comes in a vision. You pray for someone, you have a vision, pray according to that. You know, and you're praying for someone and they're asking you to pray for their fear. And then you're seeing this vision of a child that's afraid in the dark and all that. Maybe the child is this person who is now 40 years old, but he's afraid. And that's why the fear came in. He was in the dark. He was left there alone by his parents. Then he started praying, Father, in Jesus' name, that fear that he had, Lord, that came in when he was... Stop praying and God gives you a vision. It's not a clear vision. Ta-na-ta-na, then the lion roar, and then show opens, you know. You know, it is just a light vision. Sometimes you pray for people, there's a light vision that comes up. Or when you pray for your family, when you're praying and things like that, you have vision of your children and all that. And whatever you see, okay, God doesn't, you know, even when God tells you something danger, right? Most of the time, He gives you vision that are positive and powerful. Pray that over your family. You see yourself prospering. You see yourself blessed. You see yourself, you know, going places and all that. And accept that. Here you are sick. You are in the bed all the time. But God is giving you vision. And the word of the Lord comes to you in a vision. So that's the first thing we learn. Number two, the phrase, the word vision is the first time, by the way. Vision. It's the first time it appears in the Bible. So the word of the Lord appears for the first time. The word vision appears for the first time. And the first vision that we see in the Bible is God is your protection. God is your shield. What a vision to have when you travel. What a vision to have, you know, when you send your children to school. What a vision to have. With all the other pictures that you see in the news media and all the, you know, news media, the nature of news is always negative, okay? That's how news travel, you know? And when people hear things, they want to know what happened to this person and this celebrity, that person, all that. It's juicy. It's not juicy if it's positive, right? So where do you find vision that is positive? From God's word. Spend time in God's word. Amen? Your vision. And isn't it amazing that the vision God gives you is protection? You all need that, people. God is your protection. vision. Number two, the phrase first time mentioned, fear not, is the first time it's mentioned. Every time God says fear not, Jesus' favorite expression, the most frequent expression of our Lord Jesus is fear not. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Shield is first time mentioned. Everything got to do with Abraham and the blessing. Shield, first time is mentioned, Megan. And your exceeding great reward, the word salary, wages, is also mentioned first time. And that tells you, don't look to your boss for salary. God is the only source. If that salary is cut off, don't think it's the end of your world. Yes, it didn't work out. The investment didn't work out. God has something better for you. God is your source. And what's going to work out for you in the future, if you believe the word of God, God works with faith. Remember that. If you believe God's word, not only will you have a salary, it'll be an exceeding great salary. Like, I'm using the word salary because it speaks to us today. And the word reward here is the word salary, wages. Literally, it's wages. God says, I'm your exceeding great wages. So not only there's protection, there's provision. Protection, provision. Protection, provision. I shared with them last Wednesday night, encounter night, that the word provision comes from an old Latin, pro video. Video means to see, pro means to see, pro means beforehand. God sees your need beforehand, and the provision is already there. He's prepared the provision, right? Just look to Him, amen? You have the need, He has the provision. Don't look to yourself, because don't look to men. Men also have other needs. So they don't help you with that need, to meet that need. In fact, the reason they help you is because they are looking for you to meet their need. So their need is your money. That's the way the world works, right? Right? They also are looking for their needs. There's only one person who really loves you, who cares for you unselfishly, and that's God. So protection and provision is in Him. Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me? Seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. So he had a servant called Eliezer of Damascus, and he says, look, if I die without an heir, then this guy will inherit everything. And then the Lord said to him, drop down. Abram says, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. Behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be yet thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. Amen. I'm using Old King James because I love this portion in the Old King James, and I feel it's more accurate. Thine heir. So God says, the one that comes out of your body will be your heir. Drop down. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards heaven. So God brought him out. Obviously, he was in the tent complaining. And God brought him out. He was in the tent fearful. And God brought him out. Sometimes when you feel depressed and you feel down and all that, go for a walk. Go out in the open. Look to the heaven. Look at the stars at night. And then you realize all of a sudden, what are your problems compared to God? They say that our Earth, sun and moon. Sun, moon, and our Earth is actually in a galaxy, a group of galaxies called Milky Way. Then the Milky Way itself, from one end to another end, is trillions of years to travel, light years. And light travels at 186,000 miles per second, right? It takes about, 10 or 100 trillion years for just our Milky Way alone from one star to another star. And that's only part of the cluster of galaxies we are in. But this cluster of galaxies that we are in is actually part of millions and millions of galaxies all over the universe. The naked eye, man can only see, an astronomer in Yale University actually tried it in a bright place at night. Not in a bright place, it should be a dark place, very dark place, but brightest sky, I should say. And then with a visible eye without telescope, he can see 9,069 stars. Average person, about 4,000. So God brought him out and God says, look now towards heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall God. I believe that's a pause. He started looking at the stars, obeying God's instruction. God says, see, you can tell the stars. See if you're able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall your seed be. At the end of it, God says, so shall your seed be. The conclusion. You know how Abraham reacted when God said it? Abraham says, Amen. How do I know he said amen? Because he says, and he believed in the Lord. And it's the first time the word belief appears in the Bible. First time. And the word belief in Hebrew is amen. And that's why we say amen means faith, belief. Belief. He told the Lord, amen. He amen the Lord. Literally in Hebrew, he amen the Lord. The Lord says, so shall your seed be. He says, amen. And the Lord counted his amen for righteousness. From then on, God treated him as a righteous man. When he prays, God hears his prayer. Even when he fails, God still treats him like a righteous man. And in this one verse, there are three first mentioned. Amen, counted, righteousness. All appears for the first time. And from then on, you know that it will set the trend for the rest of the Bible. In fact, the Apostle Paul himself quoted this, Paul and James. This phrase, he believed in the Lord and God counted it to him for righteousness, appears in the New Testament three times. Paul used it once in Romans, also in Galatians, and then James used it also in his book of James. So it's a very important passage. It tells you what Abraham believed. Now, I want to tell you something about a belief that even Josephus, the Jewish historian, he says according to Jewish tradition, all the stars that you see up there, they all separate from ancient times, they all separate into 12 constellations, 12 groupings of stars. Virgo all the way to Leo, all 12. Now, when I say that, some of you are, oh, you know, astrology. No, astrology is a perversion of what was original. The stars were not made by astrologers. The stars is made by God. In English, only 5 words. And he made the stars also. Genesis chapter 1. The stars were made by God to tell a story before the written form came in. The written form came in by Moses on parchments of skin in 1490 BC. So before that, more than 2,500 years, all the way back to Adam, how did they know the gospel story? It all began with when Adam fell. God gave him everything, but God gave him a free choice. God cannot stop that free choice, right? But Adam fell. When Adam fell, this is what was said, Genesis 3:16. God said to the snake, okay, we don't have it up here, but you know the story. God said to the snake, the woman's seed will crush your head. So that began the entire story of the Bible, because the entire thing is all about the devil's trying to stop the seed from coming. Are you listening? And up there in the stars, actually, I don't believe for one moment that God was telling Abraham to number the stars, to count the stars. You see, look at the story, all right? God says, tell the stars if you are able to number them. There it is, Pastor Prince. He says, tell the stars if you're able to number them. And he believed in the Lord. I don't believe it's like he counted the stars and he counted maybe like that Yale University astronomer. He says 9,000 plus, Lord. Then God says, it'll be 9,000 plus. We have a few million Jews even today, right? No. I don't believe that for one moment. I don't believe that. Because Paul used he believed in the Lord as the gospel of grace for righteousness. This is how we believe. I submit to you. This came to me many years ago in the 90s. I sought the Lord. Now, what is already known by Christian scholars, even in the 17th century, and even by Josephus in his writings. Josephus, by the way, is a Jewish historian who lived during the time of Jesus. He was captured by the Romans. He didn't die. But then he's a historian, and he's what you call probably one of the most used extra-biblical resource for Bible scholars today, theologians and all that. And he says that the story of the star, the 12 constellations, was written, was given by Adam himself. So that's the story goes all the way back. Can you see that? Amen? How do you read the stars? Now, like I said, astrology now is perverted. So there are people with books written. Even Marilyn Hickey has a book called, I think, about the stars, the gospel in the stars. But in all these books, that very few books written, but in all these books, never did they say that this story here, this part of the story here, has got to do with Abraham reading the story of the stars. This came to me in the 90s, like I said. But the fact that the gospel was in the stars is already known by a few scholars. Okay, but I believe that this part here, when I was reading this one day, I heard God's voice telling me, look at this word, tell the stars if you be able to number them. Tell the stars if you be able to number them. And I look up the Hebrew, and the word tell the stars is not just to count, but to recount, to narrate, to tell the story, is the Hebrew word safar. From safar, you get the book safer. In Hebrew, book is safer. Safar means to write, to tell the story. It is also the word for counting, yes. So in the context, you must see whether it's counting or tell the story. I believe he is telling the story. Look at the stars, tell the story of the stars. If you are able to safar them again, number them is safar. See if you're able to tell the story. I don't think it was counting. It was the word narrate the story. Now, to prove that, let me show you David's psalm, where David used the word safar. Psalms 19. Psalm 9, the heavens declare the glory of God. Safar declares, it's not the heavens count the glory of God, right? Cannot be the heavens count the glory of God, right? So it's the heavens, the same word, safar. So God was actually, I submit to you, God was actually, and in fact, he goes on to say, and the firmament shows his handiwork, day unto day utters speech. The word utters there is naba, from where you get the word nabi, for prophet. Naba is to foretell, talk about the future, to prophesy the future. So day unto day, the stars, the constellations, actually was prophesying the future. Night unto night reveals knowledge. It's a story in the stars. I don't have time to go through all the 12 constellations. Don't be happy about your particular one. You should forget what a star you are born under. People ask, what star are you born under? Say the bright and morning one. Yeah. Amen. So, all right, we are not into astrology here. But it starts with Virgo. It ends with Leo, the 12 constellations. There is also one I want to call your attention to. I just call your attention to a few, okay, very, real fast. We have Virgo, who's a woman. Before the whole thing is perverted, the woman actually is holding a baby. So here you have the promise, the woman. Genesis 3:15, God says, I'll put enmity, God spoke to Satan, between her seed and your seed. And her seed will crush your head and you will crush his heel. Very interesting that in Scorpio, in between, the sign, that's a sign of a strong man, and a snake is biting him. There are three clusters of stars there that tell three stories. One is an attack from the snake, all right, on man. Another one is a strong man holding the snake. And the third one is that he crushed the snake with his heel. And one of the stars is called Regal. Regal in Hebrew is your foot. Isn't that interesting? Then there's Libra. Libra is actually a pair of scales. Scales is used for trading. In Libra, you have the Southern Cross. The Southern Cross is actually in the Libra constellation. You know the Southern Cross? It is the emblem of the flag of New Zealand. They use the Southern Cross. It's also the Australian flag. It is also the Brazilian flag. It's the flag of the Papua New Guinea flag. And I know it's five nations, but here's a picture of the Southern Cross on a clear night. Can you see the word crux, which is cross? That's the Southern Cross. Can you see it? We are drawing the line for you to see. When mariners or people who are seafaring people, when they're out there last time, they don't have this kind of, instruments that we have. Then out there in the sea, that's why they say, he's out at sea, lost, right? You look up. Whenever you're lost, look up, don't look down. And by the way, don't look around. They are also lost. Amen? Look up. And when you look up, what happens is that you will see either the Orion, very clear, and Orion is another beautiful story, all right, of a conqueror. let's say a strong man there, the coming of Jesus in Orion in the cluster of the Taurus. But here is the Southern Cross. You're lost. You don't know where it's north, south, east, west. You look for the cross in the sky. When you find the Southern Cross, you know where south. When you know where south, if your house is west, you can just position your vehicle, your vessel, and you will find your way home. Find the cross, you'll find your way home. Amen? Can I have a good amen? So these are all beautiful pictures. And by the way, the cross is the payment for the scale. That means price paid. The scale means it's trading. Price paid. Amen. So the cross is the love of God making payment to the justice of God. Because the justice of God says the soul that sins must die. God loves man, but God hates sin. Amen. Just like you have someone with cancer whom you love very much. Maybe it's a loved one, a family member. You love that person. You love that child. But the child has cancer. How much do you hate the cancer as much as you love the child? So I always tell people this because they don't understand why does God, you know, hate sin and is this confusing? No. It's the same for life. How much do you hate the cancer in the child as much as you love the child? When we hear about someone in the street who has cancer, it means nothing to us much. Unless you're a pastor who cares for, you know, whose heart is to pray for everyone to be safe and all that. But most people don't care about the guy in the street. Am I right? Or people you see in the papers. But it's like your own child. You feel it. Why? Love. Love makes the difference. Why does God hate sin in people's life? What, you know, God can just say, forget it. Let him go to hell. If they, you know, God can have that attitude, right? But God doesn't. God is love. He knows when a sparrow falls. The Bible says, Jesus says, even a sparrow that falls, God knows it. Are you not of more value than the sparrows? So we can never understand God's love, which is so detailed. He's so powerful and so detailed. He numbers the hairs on your head. Isn't that amazing? Another person is being healed right now I think you have a heart condition. When you go back to the doctor, in fact, right now you're feeling complete clearance. You find that strength is coming back to your body. Right, you don't have to stand up, but please go back to the doctor, verify it, and let us know about it. And refer to this particular service, okay? And someone else in another service is also being healed of a heart condition. All of a sudden, I see like a vessel open up and blood is rushing out, okay? And now you feel strong in your heart. You feel strong, okay? This is another service, and I'm here to tell you that God is moving in all the services. And I just feel like God is touching hearts. I hear the word of the Lord saying, wait on the Lord, He shall strengthen thine heart. Many people try to spiritualize it. Don't spiritualize it. Amen. It is all absorbing, physical and spiritual. He will strengthen your heart. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. His name is in your heart, right? The Shin. Amen. Praise the Lord. So here you go. This is what I believe in the 90s God was speaking to me about. The fact that the gospel is in the stars is already there. But none of them say that this is what Abraham believed. In fact, all the commentaries that I've read said that Abraham counted the stars. But when you look at the word safar, it's also the word tell the story. So I believe here, no point saying count the number of stars and finally after 4,000 he says, oh God, oh, there's so many. In fact, his descendants much more than that, right? So God says, oh, you believe me. All right, you are justified. No, it must be the gospel story. And how does our New Testament open up? With the story of a woman with a child, virgin, right? Am I right? How does the New Testament end? In the book of Revelation, the conquering one, this baby is now the conquering one, the coming king. He's coming again. And behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah. So if you start, people really do not know how to start the 12th constellation, where to start. What the Bible tells you, you start with Virgo, you end up with the lion, Leo. The New Testament, Matthew starts with the virgin. It ends with the lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen. Amen. Now the blessing. I'm going to close with this. This phrase, he believed in the Lord and God counts it to him for righteousness, is used in Galatians chapter 3. Oh, by the way, I must show you in Galatians 3. Let me show you verse 8 first, okay? Before I show you verse 8, look up here. Another proof. Bible must always interpret Bible. So just now I shared with you what the Lord showed me in the 90s, many years ago. And of course, you know, I think that people say, well, you know, yeah, the gospel and the stars and all that. But those people never said that it is what Abraham believed. But it's what I believed. But I'm telling you, church, there's a verse that confirms that God preached the gospel to Abraham. And it's found Galatians 3, drop down verse 8. And the scripture, the Old Testament scripture, obviously, foreseeing that God would what? Justify the Gentiles by faith. That's justification by faith. Preach the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. God preached the gospel of justification by faith. God told Abraham that in you, in Jesus, referring to the seed, because you drop down to, and the seed and seeds drop down to that verse. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds as of many, plural, but as of singular one, to your seed who is Christ. So God preached, Abraham, from you will come the seed, the promised seed. And God preached the gospel. Anyone who believes, and in the night sky last time, you know, before we have the Bible, today we don't have to look to the sky. You don't have to learn. Thank God. We don't have to have a series on the 12 constellations. Why? Because now we have the written Bible. If you have time, I don't have time, so I'm going to tell you right now. If you have time, Psalms 19, the first seven verses, I'll show you right. It starts with the heavens declare the glory of God, right? Day unto day, utters knowledge and all that. Now, if you go all the way down, six verses, it's talking about the sky, the stars, the sun. It's all about nature out there in space. But from verse 7 all the way to 14, the end of the Psalms 19. It talks about the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God. The law of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. It's about the Word of God. Why nature and then God's Word? You know why? Long before God's Word came, it was nature. It was out there. But today we don't go to nature and sit down there and man say, I wonder what is that? Is that the conquering strong man? Or is that, I thought I saw the tail. No, it was a shooting star. Okay, so don't worry about that anymore. Am I right? Okay, are you all with me so far? Now, how to be blessed. Very simple. I'll leave this with you. Go back to the very start, verse 5. God who supplies the Spirit to you, like what He did just now, and what He's doing for the rest of the services today, and what He's doing for you at home as well as in GRC, all those who are watching, God has no time barrier. God lives outside time. And God can heal right where you are. Amen. And I see it today especially. Especially after watching that video, God told me right after the video, people are going to receive their miracles. So I thought I'll just pack up and go back, you know, because it's a very short service then. But God has His ways. Amen. So here it says, God who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you. Does God do it by the works of the law, by you keeping the Ten Commandments, or by the hearing of faith? Which is it? The hearing of faith. Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham believed God, it was counted. This is from Genesis 15. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Then we come to verse 8, we read just now that God would justify, the scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles, the non-Jews, you and I, by faith. We're all justified by faith. And that's why God preached the gospel to Abraham, in you all the nations shall be blessed. Even in the natural, right? The descendants of Abraham are the Jewish people. Most of the inventions that we have today, most of them are Jewish inventions. I can show it to you. Many of the things that you're using today for convenience is a Jewish discovery or a Jewish invention. Facebook. You have Zuckerberg. Amen. I can name one after, even the chip was invented by a Jew. So on and on, even in the fields of sciences, medical science, the top race that wins Nobel Prize, and the Jewish people are a minority race, the one that wins the Nobel Prize the most are the Jews. Science, the Jews. Biology, the Jews. Literary geniuses and the Jew. God has given them a disproportionate influence for good. God meant it for good, but they can use it for evil as well, like Karl Marx. But the greatest Jew of all is Jesus Christ, God's Son, God in human flesh, but He lived as a man, anointed by the Spirit. And today there's a man in glory at the Father's right hand. How to be blessed? Watch this. Verse 9. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Go back again. Look at verse 8. What is the subject in verse 8? That God would justify by faith. God would justify by faith. Do you see that? So the subject is justification is by faith, not by your works anymore. I said justification is by faith, not by your works anymore. Okay, real quick. Romans 4. What then shall we say that Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, by what he did, he has something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. What is this belief? Drop down. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but debt. If you work for it, God doesn't give it to you based on what he owes you, rather grace. If you work for something, God cannot give it to you by grace. Unearned, undeserved favor. He has to give it to you based on debt. And God be a debtor to no man. So to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, work to be right with God. Not having a profession, okay? I hope you understand that. But to him who does not work, that means what? Work to get into God's favor. Work to be right with God. To him who does not work but believes, like Abraham did, on God who justifies not the godly but the ungodly. Now that faith, his faith is counted for righteousness. So how can a thrice holy God justify the ungodly? God who said, I'll by no means pass by the transgression of people. All right, God's eyes, Habakkuk says, are purer eyes than to behold evil. How can a holy God bypass all that, man's sin, and then justify the ungodly? And God says, if you believe that I will justify the ungodly, I will justify you, amen, your faith is counted for righteousness. Now, that means I'll treat you from then on as a righteous man. How can God do that? Only on one basis alone, the cross of Jesus Christ. Because at the cross, his son died as our substitute. At the cross, Jesus bore your sins. At the cross, Jesus was judged in your place. So God's judgment fell on Jesus. And at the cross, Jesus gave us his righteousness, divine exchange. He took our sins, we take his righteousness before God. So now on that basis, the thrice holy God who cannot pass by one sin put all our sins on Jesus Christ at the cross. And he was judged, condemned, and cursed at the cross on our behalf, the Bible tells us. So that we now receive his righteousness and we get what we don't deserve. Jesus got what he didn't deserve. Now we get what we don't deserve. Favor, blessings, prosperity, fecundity, longevity, the power for well-being in every area of our life. And this is hard for some people to take because people are always trying to get some glory for themselves. They always want to do something. Friend, even you think that the work of Jesus is 98%, yours is 2%, you still cannot give him the glory because your 2% will always make you feel like you have a part to play. No, it's worthy is the Lamb. Not worthy is the Lamb and me. So friend, hallelujah. This is the good news. How to be blessed. Those who are of faith, go back again. Go back again to Galatians. Those who are of faith. What faith? Those who believe they are justified by faith are blessed with believing Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. So those who are faith are blessed. Those who are of the works, they even say those who break the law, mind you. But those who are of the works, the moment you take your ground on, well, I believe that we got to obey, all right? Try our best not to disobey. No, morality is important. But when you live by faith, you believe that you are the righteousness of God in Christ, morality is a fruit. But here, you will end up under the curse. Because the moment you take that position, God says you must keep all the law. No such thing as doing your best. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. You choose. You want to be under the law or under grace? Amen. Abraham is under grace. Now, therefore, we confess I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. A few weeks ago, I shared about the man who was watching pornography, always in his car. That's how he hides from his wife and all that. Of course, later on, the wife found out about it, but he was still watching pornography and all that. And how do you find victory? By confessing, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And he shared, it was very hard for him to do that. But he started confessing. While watching, he was confessing, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And one day, he found that just from inside, true deliverance is always supernatural. If you change yourself, by the way, a woman can never change a man. Y'all know that right now. Even Esther's story, God used her, but she didn't change the king. God changed the king's heart. Right? The only time a woman successfully changes a man is when he's a baby. Change diapers, lah. Okay. So we have this picture of faith, believing right. And this person, he was believing right. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Even though he's actually sinning, he was in bondage. He didn't know how to stop. Many people are in this position. Guess what? One day he just had this desire no more to watch it. It just fell off. By the time the wife shared the story, I think it was about 6 years. It's been 6 years. Then she starts sharing the story of her husband. Her husband and her are now serving in church. Not this church. It was in Texas. This story happened. And they're rejoicing. True deliverance. When you confess, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Recently, the Lord spoke to me and the Lord says to me, you know, son, he was encouraging me. I was quite, not discouraged, but it's like, I'm thinking myself, you know, people's thinking that, Pastor Prince, you like to preach a lot on righteousness, the righteousness of God by faith. Or I'm the righteousness of God by faith. I'm the righteousness of God by faith. Everything I hear is righteousness. It's almost like, it's true, no? I don't hear many people emphasizing the gospel, which is, what's the gospel? Justification by faith. Abraham heard that from God first. Amen? Then God gave it to Paul. We are justified by faith, not by our works. And then I got a bit down because I mean, you know, I need confirmation, Lord. And the Lord gave me a fresh confirmation. With that, would you like me to share with you?
Yes.
And with that, we'll close, okay? Supposing you're in trouble, whether it's a disease attacking you. Today, our enemies are no more physical. But whether it's a disease attacking you, sickness, or whether it is a lack, financial lack, whatever it is, a debt, you know, your alongs are pursuing you, your debtors are, your creditors are after you. You're being attacked. In those days, for David, it's a real enemy. So in Psalm 71, he says this, in you, O Lord, I put my trust, let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me. Now, how does God deliver him in righteousness? Now, this is the psalm that God gave me. I'm sure I've read this psalm before, but I was needing some encouragement, Lord. You know, is this the path? Because I don't hear too many preachers preaching on righteousness by faith. There's an army now, praise God, all over the world preaching the gospel of grace. But still, I find that sometimes a lone voice. And this is what he brought me to. How did I bring David out of his trouble? How did he escape? What caused him to escape? He cried out, deliver me in your righteousness. But how? How, Pastor Prince? Same psalm, drop down. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day. The word my mouth shall tell is sefer. My mouth will tell the story of your righteousness. My mouth will narrate, will recount your righteousness. Not man's righteousness, your righteousness that comes to man as a gift. The Bible says today, righteousness is a gift to be received. So God showed me this. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day. And God says, this is what's happening with your people. All day long, they talk about, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. And they talk about your salvation here is who? In Hebrew, salvation is Jesus' name, Yeshua. Isn't this our story? If it's not, it should be. All day, if you're in trouble, some sort of trouble, like I said just now, you want to escape. You want God to deliver you. All day long, confess, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Let your mouth relate that. Let your mouth narrate that. Let your mouth tell of His righteousness, not yours, your righteousness. My mouth shall speak of your righteousness and your salvation all the day. I do not know their limits. I love the NIV. NIV says, I can't even begin to describe it. Words cannot even describe it. Okay? Then you know what's going to happen when you you confess God's righteousness in your mouth? Like when you say, I'm the righteous of God in Christ. Watch this. The next thing that happened, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. You become strong physically. You become strong physically. There was a time I was feeling fatigued and tired and all that, you know, for a few days. And I said, this is not, you know, something good. You know, I want God to give me strength. He gave me this verse. It was a time of seeking the Lord. And God says, if you want to go in my strength, by the way, the strength here is plural in Hebrew, is great strength. I will go in the strength. How many want to go in the strength of the Lord? Well, make mention of His righteousness all day long. And His salvation, His Jesus, all day long. And you'll go in the strength of the Lord. Again, He says, I'll make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. It was like God is saying, you think you are the one emphasizing it? David did that a long time ago. What an encouragement. And you know how this entire psalm ends? And we're going to end the service with this. Not end the service. End my message. Such joy. When they hear man doing it. You know how this entire psalm ends? Like this. This is the last verse. My tongue, let's all read together. My tongue also shall talk of your righteousness all the day long. What happened to all your enemies? To your diseases, to your financial lack, to your depression that come against you? They are confounded. They are brought to shame who seek my hurt. All the powers of darkness, they all flee. They are confounded. When all day long you confess, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. It was like a voice from heaven encouraging me, son, don't think you're the only one. The man after my heart, David, he confessed my righteousness all day long. And when you do it, your enemies will be confounded. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. Every head bowed, every eye closed all across this place. Friend, 2,000 years ago, God sent His Son who died on the cross for your sins and mine. And that's where the divine exchange took place. That's where you receive His righteousness. Because He received your sins, your curses, your judgment that was meant for you, fell on Jesus. And God, who is holy today, cannot punish the same sin, the same crime twice. So wherever you are right now, friend, you say, Pastor, pray for me. I want this Jesus to be my personal Savior and Lord. I want to become the righteousness of God in Christ. The Bible says, those who are of this faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Abraham lived to 175 years old. The Bible says he was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. The Bible tells us his wife's beauty was renewed when she was 90 years old. Even a king, a heathen king, wanted her for his harem. And the Bible says this phrase at the end, the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. That means in all areas of his life. The Bible says those who are of faith are blessed. Believers right now, ask yourself, am I living in this faith? Am I actively declaring I'm the righteousness of God in Christ? Doesn't have to be out loud. In fact, the last verse says, my mouth shall tell, is the word Hagar. My mouth shall speak. The last verse says Hagar instead of Safar. Safar is earlier part. But the last verse actually used the word Hagar, which is meditate, mutter. You can mutter softly under your voice that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen? And for those who don't know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, I want to lead you in this prayer right now. Say, Heavenly Father, Christ died for my sins and He rose from the dead without them. Hallelujah. The work is finished. All my sins are put away. I'm greatly forgiven. Forgiven of all my sins, past, present, and future, because Jesus Christ is my Lord. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand to your feet. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Christians, your assignment is very simple. All day, confess throughout this week, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. Give them the last verse one more time. Give them the last verse. The word talk is actually haga here, the last verse. We have haga. Haga means to matter, matter. So, even when you're in a public place, say, I'm a righteousness of God in Christ. When you're discouraged, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. When you're tempted, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. And even when you fail, when you sin, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Your enemies will be confounded. And you will go in the strength of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Lift your hands all across this place. The Lord bless you and your families. The Lord make His face shine on you and be favorable to you and your loved ones. The Lord lift up His countenance on every single one of you and grant to you and your loved ones His shalom peace. May you be at the right place at the right time. God keeps you, protects you, preserve you from all dangers, harm, sickness, accidents, from all evil. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the people said,
amen,
amen. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.